The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No, Jack Farmer. It is Monday night. It is the Wrestling Podcast. Oh, boy. And this is a video and an audio podcast for clarification.
Are we not reviewing the Oscars tonight?
I am your host, Justin LaBar, coming from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, being joined as normal on a Monday night up north, pro wrestling referee of 20 plus years. Refereed an Undertaker WrestleMania match that bumps in the front of the line of any Tim Hortons. He's written a book. He podcasts. He makes Counting to Three cool. He's also shirtless. He is the Greek god that is Demetrius Jimmy Corderas. Jimmy, how are you?
A little chilly, but other than that, I'm doing good. Just thought, you know, have a little fun here. Why not? We saw, you know, the John Cena out there at the Oscars. Shirtless, to say the least. So I figured, why not? Let's try it.
All right.
let me just take these out for a second while I put my shirt back on.
No. You've committed. You've committed. There's no wardrobe. Okay. This isn't this isn't a Beyonce concert or Taylor. There's no wardrobe changes in the middle.
Okay, then that's it. I'm there.
Being joined with us, our third for the night. This man's dabbled in podcasting. This man has done a whole lot of music in his life. This man is a self-appointed sheriff of the IWC. That's the Internet Wrestling Community. Not sure all what it entails, but it sounds like a very, very curious day of work. He's wearing a shirt. He is Matt Kuhn.
Thank God for that. Everybody should be thankful for that. Yeah, the title of sheriff was self-appointed sheriff was given to me by a hater on Twitter, and I decided to go with it. Justin, if you've ruined everybody's evening by making Jimmy keep his shirt off, but the news is it's not just a shirt. Jimmy is naked right now. Jimmy is completely naked.
Thank goodness the camera doesn't go any lower.
Now we've been instructed by the powers above us that we have to that the language policy is be language that would be of standards of, you know, being on cable television. I don't know where upfront nudity, upper body nudity falls into this.
Where has our society fallen? Where has it gone?
Jimmy, J.R. Smith has a super chat. He wants to know, what bet did you lose?
Oh, I didn't lose a bet yet. I'm just having a little fun here, trying to take after one of my buddies there, John Cena, and crash the party with shirtless, among other things.
Have you seen his movie yet, Jimmy?
Ricky Stenicki?
Yes.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
I thought it was hilarious. I thought he was fantastic in it.
Oh, he was awesome. And I can't stop throwing the stupid jokes. And my wife is like, okay, will you stop already? And now she's starting to do it. we're all hooked.
Everybody I've heard from has said it's been a really, that it's like
it is.
One of the best comedies.
It's hilarious. It starts out a little, obvious, but then it just really takes off, mainly because of Cena. He flexes those muscles he used in Peacemaker. He's fantastic.
Amazing. I could pay homage to Dave LaGreca and put on the pink.
You can put a bathroom one, I suppose. If you're cold, go ahead. Do what you got to do. Just don't bump your mic.
This is for you, Dave.
There you go.
Which I'm doing right now.
There you go. Well, so he goes from paying homage to Naked Midian to now he's going to join the Cody Crybabies led by LaGreca. So. Mm-hmm. There you go.
I was already wearing a sweater technically, but anyways.
Oh boy. Again, we appreciate all listeners. If you're a regular subscriber of this podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, the audio only, again, we appreciate you. You podcast the way you need a podcast, but sometimes it is worthwhile checking out the video because the little extra flair for the entertainment can streak upon the screen. Get it? Streak? Waka waka. All right. I have to have a certain appropriate amount of silence as we transition here. Mm-hmm. Of course, we'll do our news headlines here to start. And if you watch the news headlines today in the world of pro wrestling, or if you are counting on us to give them to you, then we will all agree that once again, new information regarding the allegations against Vince McMahon from former WWE employee Janelle Graham, a little more movement has happened in reporting and covering that story. This is coming from Front Office Sports. They put out a report earlier this evening, and the identity of corporate officers number one and number two in that suit that was filed by Grant in January, that officers one and two are in fact WWE President Nick Khan and COO Brad Blum. Now, it's very key, especially in the format of this kind of a podcast, where we're not going to read the story word for word. You can go check the story out, or you can get a aggregation of it on Wrestling Inc. We're not going to go word for word, but it's very important to make sure we do give the proper summary. Those two are identified as corporate officers, number one and number two. Nowhere in the suit are they accused. There's no allegations of any sexual misbehavior towards them. Their role in the suit by Ms. Grant is that they were aware, of course, of her hiring, of her rather abrupt and random hiring, and not really having really a full set of duties, and she was shuffled around to different departments. And also, she notes in the suit of them being aware that there's some type of relationship going on with her and Vince. It is not made clear that they know of sexual assault and what the nature of that relationship actually was, but that should just need to be clear. It's not saying that they are part of any accusations. Also, in this same report that is very thorough, very, a very good piece of journalism to check out. So please check out the full piece. It does also identify that corporate officers number three and number four are to be, number three being Stephanie McMahon and number four being former counsel Brian Nurse. Brian Nurse is no longer with the company. There's some questioning about how his departure went about in the company several years ago, but that's kind of the big takeaway. Janelle Grant's attorney did confirm the inquiry from this report and did confirm that number one and number two is Khan and Blum. I don't believe she confirmed three and four were Stephanie and Nurse. There's a lot to unpack here. I hope I was succinct enough, but detailed enough given the nature. Matt, your reaction to this story that's going to continue to provide us more information as we go.
You know, it's just another thing that makes enjoying WWE kind of difficult right now, because this is something hanging over their head. You know, the lesson is, you know, for a lot of people, if you know of wrongdoing and you touch it, you own it, you know, and I think anybody associated with it, whether it be facilitation, whether it be turning a blind eye, they're going to turn to dust, you know, and well, they should, because this isn't simply a case of he said, she said. This is a case of, you know, a woman coming forward with these allegations, with text messages from Vince McMahon that have not been rebutted as being false of any kind. And then the other person named as a significant perpetrator, Johnny Ace, John Laurinaitis, he has, you know, kind of stipulated that a lot of things happened, but he was another victim. So this is another reminder to all of us watching wrestling, is that this is not something we should turn a blind eye to or a deaf ear to at any time.
Yeah, Jimmy, again, a very uncomfortable but a very real story that the entire industry is having to face head on. This, again, will not be the last report that comes out with this situation. Your thoughts and reaction to this latest piece.
Now, it's a tough one for me to comment on, because coming from that company for so many years, and, you know, it's not what I've seen from that company. I've seen a different side of that company. You know what I mean? I wasn't in the offices. I didn't partake in that thing. So for me, hearing this stuff is tough. You know, and as you pointed out, John, it's as of right now, like, John Pollock is a good friend of mine. And he does great journalism, as he did in this piece. And again, for me to comment one way or the other, I don't want to sound like a fence sitter here. But at the same time, I'm going to sit back, take a breath, and wait for the outcome of wherever this leads legally, if that makes any kind of sense. Because as of right now, technically speaking, they are accusations. And we know that there is something there, maybe. I don't know exactly what, and I don't want to speak to something that I don't know, if that makes any kind of sense. But at the same time, I don't want to, like Matt said, turn a blind eye to it as well. You know, it's just, like I said, it's tough for me, because this is an industry that was gracious to me, that was good to me, and I benefited from it, and I made a living from it for so many years, and I still do to this day. And yeah, I don't know what to say. It's just a tough one.
You know, I will say that there is some, it's hard to say anything positive at all, but there is some, the fact that we're getting now identities confirmed of who these corporate officers are. And I just simply say that because before, when they were just listed as a number, mm-hmm. Wrestling fans, as they are, as some certain elk of them are going to be, wanted to speculate wildly. And of course, they're only going to speculate to people they know based upon people they've seen on TV. You know, they're not going to necessarily use rational thought of to make their crazy claims. They're just going to go off people they know based upon who they know from TV. They're not going to know that the fact that there's executives that they have no idea who they really are because they're, you know, not on TV. They simply live, you know, in a boardroom. So if anything, just to give some clarity now of, okay, now we can start to know who we're talking about, you know, in this suit. So again, more is certainly to come, but Front Office Sports, again, you can find their report, or you can also find, again, an aggregation and summary on wrestlinginc.com. All right. So we will transition out of that into some other stories here. This one, Wrestling Observer Newsletter talking about The Rock and a possibility of The Rock having a match in Saudi Arabia in 2024. Of course, the report talks about, you know, WrestleMania plans originally, as we all know, have gotten changed up with The Rock and as it relates to Rock and Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. But the report does go on to say that it is very possible that WWE would like to have him compete possibly in May when they go back to Saudi Arabia. There's even the word clamoring for him to work the show. Jimmy, this is a little bit of a surprise for me to hear. They load these Saudi Arabia shows up at times they try to have a sexy marquee. But these shows also, by my understanding, are paid shows, meaning WWE's already got the check written. That would seem, saving The Rock for his first singles match back seems like that would be something you'd want to do domestically, where you control where you reap the benefit of the live gate.
That makes a lot of sense. It absolutely does. But at the same time, this is a business deal that they're doing with Saudi Arabia. As you know, it's a big money deal. And having someone like The Rock show up there, maybe it's him. Maybe he wants to do it. Maybe it's possibly that he wants to perform there in front of that audience and knows that it's going to get the reaction, maybe the desired reaction that he's been looking for, as opposed to being heel Rock. He can be babyface Rock over in Saudi Arabia, because they would be stoked to see him there. And of course, you know, obviously we've moved on from the pay-per-view era, and now it's premium live events. So pay-per-view money isn't what it used to be. Let's put it that way. I don't see anything wrong with it, but I do agree with the fact that you should try to capitalize on it as best you can. And you have an opportunity here to do it domestically, well, for you guys in the United States, and maybe do another stadium show. Because it would be his first you know, singles match back, and maybe against a Roman Reigns. Maybe if Cody does prevail at WrestleMania, it could be against a Cody, you know, something along the lines of the head of the table couldn't take care of family business. Maybe I will have to step in and do it for him or something, and then set up Roman Reigns down the line. There's so many avenues to go here, so many possibilities. It's just, I just love that it's keeping everybody guessing.
Yeah, Matt, I mean, you know, we just had Elimination Chamber in Australia. We have Backlash, I believe, in France. We have another event, I believe, just right after SummerSlam. Or, well, we have Money in the Bank in Toronto. We have another event around SummerSlam, just after SummerSlam, I believe, that's in Berlin. So WWE not shying away from doing their major, and of course Saudi Arabia as well, not shying away from doing major events outside of the United States. What do you make of the even the idea of WWE being excited to have The Rock in a singles match in Saudi Arabia?
Well, you know, like you said, there's a beyond maybe the urgency to exceed expectations in the Saudi deal. You know, it's a huge money deal. And so them always bringing extra people kind of is a good faith thing for the relationship. Besides that, it makes a heck of a lot more sense to do a Rock appearance at one of the other international shows, you know, that you mentioned. Although, you know, to what Jimmy said about maybe, or what you said about maybe The Rock wants to do this, you know, Meltzer, to Wrestling Observer, you said reported this, Meltzer's come under fire recently and for a long time, but especially recently and for good reason in a lot of ways. But I believe that if he's reporting this, then this is something that The Rock wanted reported. And, you know, The Rock definitely wants this story out there in this particular way because, you know, Dave has been really, in my opinion, putting out a lot of Rock viewpoints lately. So this sounds like something maybe The Rock's shaking out there, maybe trying to get some more money for another huge appearance.
Yeah, so since you said that, I guess I'll read you a little bit more word for word of how this report goes.
It's funny when you start reading some of these words and people's you know, people's voices that you know it is, like sometimes it's Jericho, right, or Flair. But in this case, maybe Dwayne Johnson. I'd like to hear it. Go ahead.
I'm reading off of Wrestling Inc. So again, this is the aggregation of the report, but hopefully it does get us the right tone here. Per Wrestling Observer newsletter, there were initial attempts backstage in WWE to delay Rock's involvement with the Bloodline versus Cody Rhodes storyline, since the build-up to WrestleMania 40 had involved Rhodes all along and the spot was promised to him. The report then noted that the same parties instead pitched an angle for Rock to battle Reigns during WWE's next Saudi Arabia event in May, believing that it could end up drawing more money. Wrestling Observer inquired whether Rock will still be slated for the show since he's now ended up working WrestleMania 40 in a different capacity, and were told that many variables were in play, but WWE ultimately would like to have him compete at the event. However, while nothing is currently set as of now, the belief is that The Rock's match at WrestleMania will not be his only in-ring action in 2024, and WWE is clamoring for him to work a Saudi Arabia show.
Such detail. Like, you know, like sometimes with Dave's reporting, there's not a lot of detail, but these Rock stories, man, I tell you, lots of detail.
Sorry to cut you off there, Justin, but man, he is basically the biggest star on the planet. So everybody is paying attention to The Rock. So having him on any show makes it a big deal. And the fact that he's showing up so frequently on SmackDown makes it a big deal. You know, and of course, Saudi Arabia, like you said, Matt, it is a big money deal for the WWE, and maybe they are requesting him. You never know. There's a lot of variables in play here.
We shall see. The Rock, that's a story that continues to evolve, and we will get back to The Rock and that storyline here in a little bit when we get on our Monday Night Raw recap of things. Sticking with the news here, some unfortunate news, but it seems like it's at least being handled with some maturity. Miro and CJ Perry, as you know them right now and in AEW, but of course WWE fans, that was Rusev and Lana. They have been married since 2016, but they are splitting up. They are, I guess, divorcing. TMZ had first reported the fact that the couple was breaking up. They have not yet apparently legally filed for divorce. And then they reached out to CJ Perry, and Perry did confirm to TMZ, giving him a statement saying, quote, "Miro and I have made the difficult decision to separate after many wonderful years together and have decided to move on as friends and hopefully on-screen characters somewhere down the road." So our best to them through the personal personal times. Matt, that's a little bit interesting. Also statement by her of hopefully on-screen character somewhere down the road, because refresh my memory, there's so much that happens in the wrestling world, especially in AEW. But I believe the last time we saw them on AEW TV, CJ had aligned with the Redeemer. So I'm curious to where all this stands then.
Well, I will tell you, man, there's like not one. I mean, you can Jake Roberts said his biggest mistake was bringing his wife on the road, right? And like in marriage, I can't think of any marriage that's been so interwoven with wrestling news and just being in the public eye than Miro and Lana. From the moment they got engaged and they, you know, pictures were put out that blew open their current storyline, you know, to just, you know, obvious embarrassment, humiliation with stories with Lana after Miro left. And then now Miro's weird relationship with AEW and her coming in. And I tell you, man, these two kids, I don't know if they ever had a chance. I hope they're happy and I hope everything works out for them.
Yeah. Now their relationship specifically, cause you're right. Matt's referencing the, when they got engaged, their photos have been posted, but via TMZ, and Vince was, and this has been confirmed by CJ Perry since Vince got really upset about it. It ruined a storyline at the time, which I believe was, you know, so then, you know, with Bobby Dolph. Lash, or I'm sorry, Dolph. You're right, it was Dolph, yeah. And Summer Rae were the parties involved there. And then later we saw Lana with Bobby Lashley. And so, yeah, there has not been easy. But, you know, Jimmy, to what Matt's saying, and quoting Jake the Snake from all those years ago, you know, times have changed in the business to where you look across WWE and AEW, the amount of relationships and not even just, you know, oh, we're dating and having some fun, but marriages that exist to the point of where WWE, at least, where there's two tours and two brands, for the most part, if it seems like if they're in support of the relationship, cooperate and try to get the two on the same tour so they can at least travel together. I mean, right. I could rattle off more than a handful right now currently. So the business has changed in a little bit of where it's like, you know, date within the business because you both can understand the situation.
Right. Then, and that has grown to a different level right now, especially when you're, like you said, dating or even married to someone within the business and working together in the business. Jake Roberts was right. You know, the worst mistake he made was bringing his wife on the road with him, especially back in those days. Times have changed now where the locker room is a little bit calmer now. It's not the Wild West like it was back in
your day.
Back in my day, as Tony Garea would say, you know, and it's nice to see that they're actually capitalizing on this because the secret's out now. The information gets out there so easily now, and people find out that, you know, so-and-so is married to so-and-so, or they're together, or they're a couple, or whatever the case may be. So why not build on it? Why not capitalize on it? Look at WWE's doing that, the series with Bianca and, Montez, you know, and they're doing a great job with it. So why not take advantage of it as opposed to, you know, trying to keep that secret, so to speak, because it's going to get out there anyways. And our hardcore wrestling fans, you know how they are. They're going to find out and they're going to try and take advantage of the situation if you try to kayfabe them.
Yeah.
You know, well, Justin, but it goes to Jimmy's point about times change. Vince is gone. Why pretend it isn't real? And WWE put up a picture of Rhea Ripley with Buddy Murphy today, live in living color on their show, to say Rhea was at the UFC event. Buddy Murphy's her husband. It's no big deal. Everybody knows. Put up the picture. And even Pat said, who's that with her? You know, like, who? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, for a while we had Adam Cole in WWE and Britt Baker in AEW. It's time. And hopefully, you know, poor Miro and Lana, if they came along a few years later, it would have been a little easier.
Well, the Rhea was especially interesting because you're still trying to sell on air that her and Dom are, but you know.
Right.
But Dom just got married and everybody knows that too.
Well, right. But they didn't go showing Dom's wedding photos on the show. But
true.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I don't know what the contract status is of either Miro or CJ in terms of their, I assume they're both still under contract with AEW, what the remaining time is and what the futures hold. I'm a big fan of both of them individually and together. So I hope whatever can work out for them.
Well, we all know Miro is going to do well in the divorce because he don't do no jobs. You know what I'm saying?
Moving on. WWE star Sheamus. Sheamus has not been seen since August of last year. Reportedly dealt with a little bit of an injury. He was the last match for Edge in WWE, but he's not been seen since. And now he has his Instagram, his X account, appears to be deactivated. If you go to his handle at WWE Sheamus, there is nothing there. And of course, this along with his absence from the WWE public eye, and it has been believed and speculated that his WWE contract expires somewhere in the first half of this calendar year. So, Jimmy, a lot of questions going around with the 46-year-old. Is he done? Is he working a storyline to make his return to WWE that much bigger? Is he on his way to AEW? It has a name change. Mm-hmm. I've seen them all float across the Twitter fence today. What say you?
I have a feeling that this is one of those situations where, as I mentioned earlier, the best thing to do right now is kayfabe the public and try and keep it as secret as possible. And if this is a huge work by the WWE to keep him out of the public eye and make it seem like something else is in the works, hats off to him by going full blown, deleting your Twitter account, which is a big deal. That is a huge deal. And people will automatically think, oh, he did that because he does have WWE Sheamus. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, is at WWE Sheamus on his Twitter. So it's going to get people talking. It's going to get people wondering what the heck is going on. And if he were to return to WWE in whatever capacity it is, it is going to be a huge deal, a big surprise. And that's what you want out of this. If he shows up in AEW, it could be equally a big surprise. But I think people are expecting that. And I don't know if that would best benefit him it might benefit him monetarily and from a schedule perspective, but will it benefit him from wanting to accomplish his goals inside the ring? If you know what I mean? Because they, with the ex-WWE talent that goes over to AEW, they haven't exactly made the impression that they would hope.
Well, and I think he deactivated the Twitter, because I think you can deactivate it, but he could still reactivate it and still have all the hundreds of thousands or millions of followers he has. He could change his Twitter handle and name. So mm-hmm. I don't know. And real quick, Dylan Matthews saying in the chat, he used Sheamus on the indies, so there will be no name change.
It's his
not necessarily.
It's his well, name. Isn't it Sheamus? Sheamus Shawnee?
Steven. Sheamus. Well, I think. Well, I don't know. I don't know what his legal name is. Like Steven's how.
Oh, okay.
Steven. Well, but what I was going to say is, he may have used Sheamus on the indies prior to WWE, but since being with WWE for the last 15 years, they might have trademarked it, and so he might not be able to use it elsewhere. But again, that's just a speculation. Matt, I've always been a Sheamus fan. I thought that he's a guy who came along in some time of an unfortunate time, came along literally right as all the old guard left. Taker, Triple H, Rock, everybody who left, and it was pretty much down to Sheamus to be the new guy, to be the foil for John Cena or Randy Orton, and it was through the PG era of times. But I've always thought Sheamus is a little bit underappreciated. What's your thoughts on his MIA status right now?
Well, you're 100% right. Like, he was a victim of timing, and he was so young, when he came in, probably about the same age that Drew McIntyre is. They're close. And was at the same time, and Drew kind of struggled, and Sheamus was great off the bat, credible right away. So here's the thing, Justin Labar of Wrestling Inc., is that what I've noticed, could be wrong, like say the last 6 months, there's one wrestling company that uses social media very, very well. Like, none of their wrestlers really speak out of pocket. There's another wrestling company where the social media is just a big negative, right? I love AEW, but is their social media is a negative. It's not a positive. And it seems to me that, Drew McIntyre has done very well with this kind of character the last few months. And it seems to me, 100%, that Sheamus is just taking it to the next level. WWE has been very smart on social media. I don't think it would be like this with them at this point. And we see what Drew's doing with this kind of reality thing. Mm-hmm. Sheamus doing the same thing. He seems like a company guy to me. So I would think it's going to be a great storyline post-Mania.
No, I agree. Really quickly here, I just wanted to say I agree wholeheartedly with what both of you have said, because Sheamus is what we refer to, and you guys know, a good soldier, and he always has been.
Yeah, I think Matt makes excellent points about the social media game. I would also classify him as a company guy. He's one who, you know, you never say never. You've seen Mark Henry, you've seen Big Show, you've seen guys who had a lot of stake in WWE move over to AEW in the capacity they are. But I still think Sheamus would be one who would be hard pressed to see not involved with WWE, even if he's not full time anymore as a participant, whether it was Performance Center or an ambassador or just a Legends deal, what have you. So we'll wait and see. I could see him also being one of those people that pop up just after WrestleMania when things reset, if they needed a fresh coat of paint on him as a heel or a face.
He's done a couple Mondays after Mania before too, you know, so that's kind of, it's his zone.
Yeah, he's a great guy. One of my favorite memories, shout out to everybody in Brooklyn, was hosting a SummerSlam after party with him in Brooklyn.
Cool.
Pre-pandemic, and never challenged an Irishman to drink. By the way,
I love those SummerSlams, man.
Or a large giant Frenchman. Let's put it that way.
Dylan saying Sean Ross Sapp said that he owns the name a few days ago. I did not see that, but if Sean does in fact say or report that, Sean's not usually flipping about that. So that good on him, because even if he did just, never mind AEW or anywhere else, even if he did just decide to go out independently, if he could still use the name for indie appearances or signings, great on him.
Just from conversations with Mike Dawkins, who's the guy who does a lot of these copyrights, my understanding is even if WWE did trademark it, if he used it beforehand, he can still use it now. Because I remember other situations involving other people you would know where Dawkins found like an old clipping of them using the name. And he's like, yes, I got it. You know, so I think he's, you know, that's, and God, I hate it when these guys have to change their names anyway. I think it's so unfair, you know.
Well, and again, we're under a different regime now. Not to say that with Triple H being in charge of creative day to day, that he's going to be completely loose goose and just let the inmates run the asylum. But I could also imagine, if you've done right by the company and what have you, I can imagine there being a little bit more empathy than what Vince might have given in terms of allowing you to make a few bucks off of a name or carrying the certain, protecting the legacy within reason.
And I mean, what's the downside if you're protecting the legacy within reason? Like, say, I don't know, someone like, you know, like D'Lo or someone like that, right? Using the name, using the likeness. What's the downside in WWE? Just licensing it to them, to those people, and say, okay, yeah, cool. Give us this little cut, and it's cool. You know, there's literally no downside at all to WWE or anybody.
Right. So, again, something to watch. All right, two more quick stories here, then we'll jump into Raw. Real quick here, we got another inductee announced for the Hall of Fame. The great late Muhammad Ali.
Who did you ever beat?
Other than everybody.
Gentlemen, I got to admit to you, you know, I busted open. We do on a Sunday thing, we do a called Confessions. I'm going to kind of give you a confession right now. When I saw this news, I went, he's not already in? I just kind of assumed they've been doing the celebrity wing for however long it has. And Ali's been, you know, he's a part of Mania 1. He was a part of just such are the origins of the modern day WWE and the crossover to other athletes in mainstream. I just assumed that he was already in and that I just had forgot about it because
I think
just
by default, he should be in all like museums just already, you know?
Yeah,
right. So it just seems like, oh, he's not in this museum. Oh, well that must be an oversight.
You opening the sports museum? Yeah. Ali's automatically in, just write it down.
He's in there before you even unlock the door. His statue's
right there. There you go. Yep.
Jimmy, who so Ali's going in. Nobody should be debating that. I try to think back to his involvement, especially to Mania 1. You know, Pat was the referee, but Pat's not around.
Right.
Piper's not around. Like, who makes sense to induct him?
I think it does make sense to have someone from WrestleMania 1 because he was an instrumental part of making that feel legit. Because when you see the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali, attending a WrestleMania, he did much more for WrestleMania. No, with all due respect to Cyndi Lauper, he made it look legit to a lot of people, and he was a big wrestling fan too. So, if I had to choose, I would think maybe a Hulk Hogan would be a good person to induct him.
I was going to ask. Hogan seems like the most appropriate, considering, but they also their use of Hogan is way, you know. I don't know politically where it stands.
the interesting thing is who accepts on his behalf, and I would think it would probably be his daughter.
Layla, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they get Tyson. You know, maybe they get Mike Tyson to come and induct Muhammad Ali. You know, Muhammad Ali, one of the great pivotal figures in all sports, not just for boxing, but socially, you know, protesting the war and you know, converting to Islam and just, you know, being the guy who invented trash talk as a sports guy. He was a professional wrestler before. And actually, he got a lot of that from professional wrestling. Actually.
Superstar Billy Graham.
Yes, he got a lot of that from wrestling. And, you know, he started the trash talking athlete, you know, and that's an amazing thing because he was, he's the guy. He's absolutely the guy.
Well, and didn't, you two are both, you know, good history guys. Didn't Ali had a match with Inoki, right? He had a match with him before there was ever, like, that was like the first crossover match ever, right?
Yeah, I think it was, I want to say it was 76. 1976, somewhere in that era. Yeah. So like I said, he was a huge wrestling fan.
So before, 76, I mean, for those younger don't know, like the Vince McMahon, you know, Vince Jr. did not take over from his father until 83 or 84. Right. So, I mean, we're talking pre the modern era of sports entertainment.
There's
for wrestling.
Another WWE event where he ran in the ring and Gorilla Monsoon airplane spinned him. airplane spin Muhammad Ali, and that was in the 70s too, you know, so you know, it very connected to professional wrestling, and of course WrestleMania 1 just pulling out all the stops. What a great person to put in there. No one can question that.
And when you talk about great talkers of all time, we talk about the Paul Heymans, we talk about the Bobby Heenans, we talk about all the great guys now that you see in the ring. You know, Muhammad Ali is one of the great talkers of all time.
Absolutely. So, I thought it was already in long overdue. Great.
You want to talk about an athlete who literally talked you in the building. Yeah. Anything a professional wrestler could do. He, you know, him and Joe Louis, you know, he did that to Joe Louis and made him the butt of those jokes to sell tickets. And boy, did he. Every wrestler could learn from Muhammad Ali.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, very cool there. So, we have, real quick, just Ali's going in. Mike Rotunda and Barry Windham.
I meant Joe Frazier. I'm not stupid. I apologize. Joe Louis from the 50s. My bad.
Down goes Frazier. So Ali's going in that he joins
American Express.
As the U.S. Express of Mike Rotunda and Barry Windham, I those gentlemen both deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. They both are known for way more notoriety in different eras. I said earlier on Twitter, I think having them in together is, let's also put in Bray Wyatt, who is their son and nephew, respectively. We have them going in. We have Bull Nakano going in. We have Paul Heyman going in as of now. So quite the clash shaping up. All right, last news item. Let's get to Raw here. Raw in 2 weeks, March 25th in Chicago. You can't have a Raw in Chicago if you got CM Punk on the contract and not have CM Punk. CM Punk is advertised to be on Raw in 2 weeks, March 25th. Jimmy, I don't think anybody believes that he's at all medically cleared, but that close to Mania, perhaps we find a different role for him and that gets revealed that night.
No, absolutely. You can have him do some kind of come to the ring and thank everyone. And this is a perfect opportunity for Sheamus to come out and just tear him a new one. Like he's been, Sheamus has been absolute fire on the mic.
Drew.
We were talking.
Jump from Scotland to Ireland. You're good.
Yeah. It's just a little boat ride across. But you know, I could just see the possibilities here, and just light that fire, and plant that seed, which is already there because of the injury happening, and him saying to him, "I prayed for you to get injured, and my prayers came through," and that sort of thing, and you know, have Punk can cut a promo right back at him. When I get better, you know, when this thing is off, I'm coming for you, straight for you, and just set that up.
Matt, it's very intriguing. Every time Drew gets to the ring now, people are chanting CM Punk, and we're still months away from him being able to compete. So that's an interesting payoff that's down the line. But when you hear Punk being advertised, you know, thoughts of a special referee spot come to mind. Thoughts of WrestleMania host come to mind, just to give a live mic to the crowd. Thoughts of commentator or special commentator come to mind. Thoughts of he's going to be the guy that inducts Paul Heyman in the Hall of Fame. So there's like a lot of application that we could use for CM Punk. What say you with Punk being advertised what's going to be, 10 days out for Mania?
I mean, all those are fine options. I prefer the option where Drew McIntyre just beats the hell out of him. Just totally just destroys him in Chicago. Gets all that heat You know, then when Punk returns, he returns from something even more significant. And I also want to comment back to your comment on the U.S. Express and the Hall of Fame. U.S. Express, they were a part of the big deal. Like, they weren't around for long, but they were a big deal with WrestleMania One and for me, as a, you know, when you're a kid, the first tag team you see, you're like, oh, they're the greatest. But there's no way they're going to induct Wyndham and Rotundo without inducting Wyndham Rotundo.
Yeah, and don't let me downplay. Like, you're right. You know, Mania, they're on Mania One. I love that video, by the way, that WWE put out of Triple H
they
calling.
They come out to Springsteen, man.
They come out to Springsteen, and Mania One, they're fighting Sheik and
Volkov.
Volkov, yeah.
So, you know, two huge foreign heels in 1985. You know, so yeah, I mean, it was a. I'm not downplaying what that team was, but in general, I think if you said to most wrestling fans, how do you remember Mike Rotunda? They're going to go IRS, Barry Windham. Mm-hmm. They're going to go with working with Horsemen, and so I just thought that okay, put them in together, probably to also honor. You know,
it's a good way to get them both in there because they both deserve it on their own accord.
Absolutely.
Very good. So that was your news. A lot of good stuff. All right, let's jump into Monday Night Raw. We again, the new format here, we kind of just kind of go from priority rather than.
And y'all just watched it anyway, you know, mm-hmm. Watched it anyway. So we're just decompressing, talking about the news as now we're ready to talk about a little Raw, you know, and we'll talk about it with y'all.
Yeah, and I've heard some people say that they would use this podcast because they couldn't see Raw live and they wanted to know what to watch. And so they got mad that we didn't go linear. But the idea here is, like, let's give you, like, the best. Let's rather than go linear from 8 to 11 Eastern, let's just tell you what you need to see first and what have you. All right, so the biggest piece of news coming out of it was the main event, which was our gauntlet to determine who was going to be our challenger for Gunther's legendary Intercontinental title reign at WrestleMania. I'll run through the gauntlet real quick here. We start with JD McDonagh versus Ricochet. Ricochet wins that. Ricochet now takes on Big Bronson Reed. Ends that in the pinfall. Bronson Reed, he moves on. Bronson Reed now against Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn pins Bronson Reed, but Reed attacks Zayn after the fact. So Zayn now really hurting. He enters his second match. It's Zayn versus Nakamura. Zayn gets out of that one via pinfall. Now he's hurting even more into his third match. It is Sami Zayn up against Chad Gable, and via a roll-up and literally just a matter of milliseconds, Sami Zayn gets Chad Gable's shoulders pinned to the mat for the 1-2-3. So Sami Zayn, Jimmy Corderas, Sami Zayn is going to WrestleMania to challenge Gunther for the Intercontinental title. Was he the right pick out of the field here?
After watching this match, I'm going to say yes. I was a big, you know, hopefully Chad Gable gets his moment too, because I'm a big Chad Gable guy, and I love the fact that he's getting elevated to a different level now, and he's more than just a comic character, and now he's got that serious tone to him. But Sami Zayn, absolutely the right character. The crowd is behind him. They love him, and they did it the right way, I believe, in my opinion, by making him overcome adversity to that degree. And, you know, I complain a lot of times about the roll-up of death being the most deadly move in wrestling nowadays. But in this instance, it's an example of when it works. And I thought it was done right.
Well, and to that point, the timing was done well. Like, it almost, I mean, Gable, like, almost just kicked out just a millisecond later. He's almost, he's checking with the ref. Are you sure it was three? So I agree. I thought the execution was done well. Matt, let me ask you something. So Zayn wins. Was he the best choice of the field, like I asked Jimmy? And do you give any gambling chance of him breaking this record 640-something-odd days of Gunther's reign?
Well, perpetually, Sami Zayn is always the right choice. Okay. In any situation, Sami Zayn's the right choice. So, yeah, he's the right choice. You know, it's interesting. You see in the beginning of the match, you see Ricochet, you know? And a lot of people align Ricochet with Will Ospreay. You know, and you see what Will Ospreay did this last weekend. I was there to see him at Revolution and just see where Ricochet is. And I'm sure he's fine with it. Like, it's a great job. And it's just how very different these companies are, you know.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify?
Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
I think Sami Zayn is the right move because they're going to love him at WrestleMania, but it doesn't seem like it's the right move to have him be the guy to beat Gunther. So I would say Gunther wins, but heck yeah, I'm for it. Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I would agree. I Zayn certainly is very over, but I mean, obviously, if we're peeling the curtain back, we're led to believe that Gunther was going to have something to do with Brock Lesnar. That's not happening right now. With Brock's status with the company not quite known. So to me, I look at it as like, okay, if we're already going to plan B for Gunther, I can't see plan B resulting in us to say, oh, we're going to have him in his title reign here. Because we're at the point now that title reign has accrued so much equity that whoever beats him, it's got to be the right situation. And this just feels like it's a plan B.
Right.
You know, it's going to be it'll be a fine match, but it's a plan B.
Right. And they've done a hell of a job of making the Intercontinental Championship seem relevant again, especially with Gunther holding it. And if there were to be a title change at WrestleMania and Sammy were to be the guy, it has to happen night one, because that's going to be a huge feel good moment for the audience there. And depending on what happens night two, if there is going to be another huge feel good moment, then you don't want them too close together.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we already know night one's going to end with the massive tag match, so it's almost like if you were going to end this Intercontinental title reign, you're almost going to put this as the very first match on night one, so it just has its own standalone spot. Real quick, last thing on this, we'll move on. Jimmy, I mean, last year Sammy was in the main event of night one in that tag match. Does it at all feel like a downgrade? Granted, it is the greatest IC title run that we've ever seen, so. It's not like the IC title, which had a string of manias that it didn't even make the card.
Right.
So, I mean, IC title is back in prominence, but is it a downgrade for Sammy that he was in the main event last year and now he's fighting and crawling in gauntlets just to get a match?
But in last year, he was in a tag match.
Right.
In the main event. What were they fighting for? What was the stakes there?
Tag titles.
Pride.
Exactly.
Well, tag titles.
This is a
always
pride. Yes and no situation. I hate to put it that way. And again, sound like I'm a fence sitter here, but it's a yes and no situation. You're going from the main event of WrestleMania, which was everybody's goal that is in this business basically. But you're still fighting for a more prominent spot, a singles title that has now become relevant again. So if this were to happen at WrestleMania, I would say you have to open the night with this match. This would have, because what are the things that people remember the most? How you start the show and how you end it.
Yep.
This would,
yep.
And especially if he's going to go over, this has to open the show.
Yep. I hate the term and philosophy of a curtain jerker. First match is not a demotion. Second match could be a demotion sometimes.
Yes.
You know,
follow that, guys.
It's interesting, back in the days of Mania and stuff, you used to go to matches and the first match would be like Salvatore Bellomo against Barry O or something, and WrestleMania I think led off with Tito or Ricky Steamboat or someone like that, and the opening matches, I think ever since Edge and Christian and the Hardys used to open up some pay-per-views back in the day, it is no longer a bad thing, but I will say that I don't think Sammy has much of a chance in this match, but I'm glad to see what they're doing with the IC title.
And I feel for Chad Gable. I actually thought Gable might have, the way they were really bringing Gable's daughter and the family thing into it, I thought, okay, maybe they're going to circle back to that. Who knows? Maybe Gable can get back up with Otis and they can try for the tag titles. Because the other piece of news we got out of the WrestleMania card here is that the tag team championship, which is held by Damian Priest and Finn Balor, they are going to have to defend it at WrestleMania in a six-pack tag team ladder match, which means them against five other tag teams in a ladder match. We don't know any of the teams. The only thing that we got tonight was that apparently it was Miz and R-Truth who gave the idea to the GMs, which put R-Truth in hell's way with Priest tonight. Mm-hmm. That aside, Matt, tag teams, ladders. I mean, when I think tag teams and ladders and WrestleMania, I revert to TLC. I was at Mania 17 and saw what I thought was the greatest TLC ever, maybe one of the greatest matches ever. You're welcome, Bully. there's a lot here.
And thank you for letting me be a part of it. I was blessed.
That's right.
Yeah.
Six-pack tag team. Is this the best way to go? Is the depth great enough right now with the tag team division that this is what they should do, or are they missing the boat on just building up one solid babyface tag team challenger?
Well, they don't really have a tag team scene. You know, like tag teams are where you have a tag rope, and you tag, and you try to sneak away from the referee so that you can finally get that two-on-one advantage. And then when you get the two-on-one advantage, you find yourself in a position where you can, you know, leverage the five. No, you're going to go in and you're going to get a ladder. It's going to be a fun match. You know, but it's indicative of a lack of interest in WWE in booking a tag division. And, but it's going to be a nice, fun match at WrestleMania. And I always like seeing at least one good car crash match.
Jimmy, I'm vocal about, one, the length of these shows, and also there's the thought of, hey, this isn't participation trophy. Not everybody gets to make the cut. I know you might have made the towns and you might have worked hard, but not everybody gets to make the cut. This match kind of is a little bit of a cop-out because you get to throw, I mean, you're talking six tag teams, so we get 12 people that get to get on the card here, even if they're not all over, but you get 12 people on here, but traditionally, scramble ladder matches have done pretty well in Mania history. We had a crazy one years ago for the IC title. Of course, Money in the Bank's origin was at Mania before it branched out as its own event. So I'm kind of torn. Sell me one way or the other on this here.
Well, I'd love to sell you on this, but in my opinion, I think it's too many tag teams for this. Okay. The way they did it in the past with the TLC matches, whether they had three teams, would have been perfect. That's all you need. I know we have some language restrictions here, so I'm going to put it this way. This has the potential to become a complete cluster furnum.
Okay. And yeah, that's a lot of dudes. I didn't even think about that. It's 12 dudes.
Yeah.
12 dudes in a ladder and a ring, all trying to figure out how to. Yeah, you're right. It could be awesome, but you're right. That is too many dudes.
Yeah, I think everybody trying to get their stuff in is because, you know, obviously WWE shoots their camera angles like nobody else does. They get you to see what they want you to see, but there's going to be just too many guys laying out after these big spots and stuff like that. Just because, you know, you have to focus on stuff.
Just
everybody can't go, you know, guns a blazing.
My request to WWE and the, where are you at? You're over here. The referees and the production, don't shoot and show me the refs all anchoring the damn ladders down. I don't need to see that.
That's one thing I never did. I never anchored them down unless I was in a hand length away where I would maybe put my hand on a ladder, try to do it discreetly, but I would never like enter the ring. Yeah. And hold the ladder down.
Like Paul Turner will like grapevine his leg through the bottom rug, and he puts his top one through the top, and he is like, if the ladder's going, Paul Turner's going to fly.
Paul Turner spoons the ladder to ensure it's anchored to the surface. And I appreciate the good heart that he probably has, but don't kill the illusion here.
Exactly. Can you imagine if I tried to hold the ladder down with Bubba and Matt going over through those tables? They would have took me with them.
Oh, Jimmy, just to see you spider monkey against one of those ladders. All right, so we'll see how that that card's going to or that match rather is going to take shape here in the coming weeks.
There, there will be some ladders being held. I'm going to just go ahead and predict that.
Well, but no, but I mean, you have to, like we said, 12 guys. It's going to have to happen, but so I'm asking, don't shoot it as such. Mm-hmm. We have to be, you know, careful on how we shoot this.
Cameraman, zoom it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rico, hit the zoom.
Yeah, I'm not sure they shot. They thought this one through. Because, like, the more I think about it, you're, like you said, Jimmy, you're gonna have to have like eight guys just laying out, just sitting on the sidelines, just drinking water.
Unless they take us on some new visual experience where we have like a four box screen where we're
or some prime energy drink or whatever the case.
That World War III triple camera.
Angle where
you can't see anything.
That might be where we're at. All right, another match, at least being challenged for WrestleMania as we start to shape this card out for each night. Jey Uso cutting a Jey Uso promo, challenging his brother Jimmy at WrestleMania. And Jimmy, I mean, we've had Sin Cara versus Sin Cara. We've had Brie Bella versus Nikki Bella. We've had Undertaker versus Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get legit twin versus twin, and probably the highest profile of a twin versus twin that I can recall in the terms of story here. It seems inevitable, but the story is there, right?
No, it absolutely is. Like, it reminds me of Brett and Owen back in the day. You know, brother versus brother. This is going to be good. It's going to... It also has the potential to maybe kick off night two.
Like an opener.
Yeah, because I think they have the potential to put on that kind of match.
Matt, what are we accomplishing here? So we have Jimmy versus Jey. And what I mean, obviously, I know why we have the match. It's a great story. What happens the next night? Like,
well, I think the idea is probably the elevation of Jimmy. You know, it's Jimmy's turn.
Jimmy or Jey?
Jimmy. Because Jimmy. Because Jey is already elevated.
Okay.
Jey's already, like, you know, Jey got the first pin on Roman. You know, like, people don't talk about that.
Right.
They didn't want you know, my opinion is they didn't want Cody to get the pin. They wanted Jey to get the pin. And Jey got the pin. And Jey is over like Grover, man. Like, what an amazing job they've done with him. Jimmy's a little bit behind. It's not like he has any less skills or abilities. So if they put their creative minds to it, they're going to elevate Jimmy the way they did Jey. And this match is probably going to be used for that. I like the idea of one day Jimmy interfering in a match with a haircut like Jey, you know, and everyone will think it's Jey, you know, but it turns out to be Jimmy.
That's been one thing that you can't sleep on, is that these two who have performed, and they are one of they're right there with Natty and Miz in terms of the longest tenured full time roster members.
They were on what was that morning? Saturday Morning Slam. Right. Every week, those two.
They've been around for 17, 18 years, and the bulk of it being a tag team where the gimmick is they are identical twins.
Right.
And so I do give some visual props to this. Is a visual show, a visual business that they've been able to visually differentiate themselves to where I know, okay, that's Jey with his yeet and with his stuff, and that's Jimmy over there. Like, so that, I mean, you know, that might sound kind of like elementary, but that's actually a challenge to take 17 years of training of these two guys being together as a twin brother unit and making them their own individual gimmicks.
It's a beautiful thing with Jey Uso, because through his style, through his creative, through his look, he's answered the question like three years ago, was it, where he looked at Roman and he had the microphone and he said, people used to come up to me and ask me, which one are you? Now we know. We will always know. And guess what? I didn't really know back then. And now I do.
No, but you're right. Really quickly, Matt, I think you're right. I think it's Jimmy's time, because Jey already proved that he can do it on a singles in a singles capacity. It's time to show that Jimmy could do it as well.
Goodfellow 1422 saying, Tama Tonga debuts here. Dylan Matthews, you can hold me accountable here, to be fair. It would be a match where if they wanted to introduce somebody new to the bloodline, I also won't
save them.
Well, save that, them. But I also
for the Monday after Raw.
But also, you know, look, Jimmy's real life wife, Naomi, is back in the company. If you wanted Naomi to jump in the fold of the bloodline and get him in.
Rock's cousin, Nia Jax.
Nia Jax, right? Oh. There's those options. All right, so those were IC title match made, tag team title situation match made. Jay challenging Jimmy, assuming Jimmy's going to answer. So those are the new matches we know. Let's get into some other storylines that developed here. This one, if I would have told you a week ago that players involved, you might have questioned that I'm putting it this high in the ranking. But the execution and everything with it, I think, is just. We had a tag match tonight between Maxine Dupri and Ivy Nile versus Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. Now, on paper, going into this tonight, this is essentially just a, kind of a two floundering mid-card babyface tag teams. Mm-hmm. This match is not much.
They should have announced it like that.
Yeah. I'm just painting a picture, Matt, This match is not much until we really get to a spot where Maxine goes to do a reverse worm. Mm-hmm. And she's cut off then by Candice, who just completely just calls time out on the wrestling match and starts to verbally assault Maxine Dupri. They have the camera right. I don't know if the cameraman was in the ring, but if not, was on the apron and very close up. So we're picking all the audio up. There's no microphone. We're just hearing natural sound. And Candice proceeds to just verbally berate Maxine. Like, what are you doing trying to do that with us? You're a joke. Don't you know that these people hate you? They don't take you seriously. The locker room, we hate you. God, thank God your brother is dead. Otherwise, he'd be embarrassed by you.
And he is.
Ooh. Hang on, Matt. Jesus, I wasn't even done. Wasn't even done, and you're already causing violence. Hang on. Jesus, terrible. Matt.
Go ahead.
Good Lord. So she does all this, and real quick, for anybody who doesn't have the context of this, Maxine Dupri made some internet news recently. Some video surfaced of her at a live event, WWE Live event. She's walking back to the curtain, and people are booing her. They're heckling her. They're just, you suck. You don't belong. This and that. And in real life, Rhea Ripley, a lot of other women on the roster came to her defense. They broke kayfabe, came to her defense saying, look, you have no idea what it's like to try to learn. And Maxine doesn't have as much experience as other blah, blah, blah. They're just coming to her defense. WWE is now running with this, it seems, and turning this into a storyline and bringing in dead siblings and all this. All right, Matt, go ahead. I did not expect to see this tonight. I'm not mad because I certainly has my attention. This is far more interesting than all the thank you that Maxine's been doing, but this is some heavy stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, like her brother died in 2017. It's not funny. I don't know why I'm laughing.
I don't know why you're laughing either.
Her brother died, but Candice LeRae is using it for like work shoot fodder on Raw. You know, if Maxine, I mean, you know, seriously, if Maxine Dupri wasn't ready, like, you know, like everybody's like, you work really hard and you know, I'm not making an assessment, but let's say she's not ready. You think she's ready for this? Like, it's like they brought Vince back to book one segment.
All right. Fair. Jimmy, fair. What Matt's saying, and real quick, to what Matt was saying, you know, I don't like to focus on people being super negative, I'm speaking for all three of us. Right. We all know there can be bad matches, but we also know guys and girls go out there, they put their lives, they put their well-beings on the line to try to entertain. Some matches aren't great, some things botch, whatever, but we all know to appreciate every guy and girl who tries to go out there and entertain because they are taking a risk. A simple body slam can go wrong and things go bad. We all three have that respect and appreciation. Jimmy, you lived it the most. So, but that said, I do go back to months ago when Maxine had a match with Rhea Ripley, and Maxine Dupri has since talked about this in interviews. I don't feel like I'm shaming her. The match was the shits. She couldn't. It was blah, blah, blah. And Maxine has since said, like, I wasn't ready. And that match was kind of like a reminder of, like, I need to be at the level to be ready.
Right.
So, all that said, Jimmy, are you surprised that they are taking this? Because Matt brings up a point. If she truly is still trying to learn and she's behind the curve, now we're setting her up where she's going to have like, a big payday or a big whatever. Like, is this the right approach to this situation?
I don't mind the approach of her telling her she's not ready and getting in her face and absolutely eviscerating her talent in the ring. But when she brought up her dead brother,
yeah.
Oh man, that's a line that you save something like that for someone who is, again, not to discredit the ladies, they're here. That comes from a talent like I can see a Drew McIntyre saying that.
That's
I could
a main
see
event
a,
burn. Yeah. Like that's not a mid card burn.
Right. I could see a Drew or a Rock or somebody like that saying something like that. I can't see don't get me wrong. She delivered it with conviction and it sounded severe. Like I said, eviscerated her, but at the same time, I don't think it was the right place for it. It wasn't for her. She could have got away with just enough by telling her she is not ready. You're not on my level. You are not talented. Go back to developmental where you belong, whatever the case may be. I just didn't think that line was necessary tonight.
And there's a story there too. Like Candice LeRae is someone who worked the indies and did Bloodbath and PWG and you know, of course, was with the much-disgraced Joey Ryan for a long time as the world's cutest tag team. Like, Candice LeRae's been around a long time. She had to pay her dues. That's the feud. It's right there. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need dead brother slander, you know, to make this work. And as a fan, generally speaking, I don't ever need that or I don't ever like that. You know, when the Bellas are like, I wish you died in the womb or whatever, or all these kind of really, or, you know, Charlotte said something to Rick, you know, someone said something to Charlotte about Reed Flair. We don't need that, man. We can all Google. It's not cool.
Matt, I wonder though, with the with the hateful internet crowd, portion of the internet crowd who obviously got all, who heckles and is on Maxine, if the WWE booking was like, okay, well, they're not gonna Candace say, you know, knowing that Candace, you know, paid her dues and worked the indies, they're not gonna buy into her to saying, I worked the indies, I paid my dues. Like, oh, we have to go a step further. We got to go to dead brother. I almost wonder if they just felt like the hill, the mountain is so tall for Maxine to get any kind of sympathy from the hardcore wrestling fan that we have to just really bring in real life death. I don't know. I don't know where we're going. Is this building to a Mania match or like what are we doing here? I don't know.
I don't care. How about that? The dead brother thing is for this kind of feud and the Maxine Dupri thing, man, just let's find a different way. There are many other creative ideas here, Justin, I think.
Fair. I mean, look, and look, we're less than a month from Mania. This would be a hot-shotting match to all of a sudden get on them. Again, I was just, you know,
that'd be something though if those two got a singles match. I'd love it for Candice LeRae.
I was just complaining a minute ago about not everybody needs to make the card here. So I don't know what we're doing here, but I would say this: I am the whatever segment or match Maxine is in next week on Raw. I'm paying more attention than I ever have because I'm really curious to see what they do next.
Fair,
so, fair enough.
Fair to that. All right, all right. So let's get into some of the stuff that we know real quick as we wind it down for the final couple minutes here. Nothing new in terms of stories, but just adding more to this. Cody does a sit down in the ring with Michael Cole. This, you know, his story, it's beyond him. I mean, he's fighting back tears, talking about obviously his father's not around, but his mother's still there for him to finish the story and hand that title to her. Talks about his sister and how she was there for Dusty, both the high times of him in front of thousands and the low times in front of just a few tens of people. Right. Talks about his real life wife who Michael Cole would have hired once upon a time when Brandy was a ring announcer. A lot of real Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Talks about the Rock, the slap to the Rock was a receipt.
Yes.
Talks about we are no longer in the third inning. We're in the last inning, noting that we are coming down the end here. Mm-hmm. Matt, I'm going to get to you in a second, but I've already set Jimmy up here. Jimmy, your takeaway from this sit down with Cody coming off of the very electric and headline stealing SmackDown of him slapping the Rock.
No, it was very well done. And hats off to Michael Cole because Mike, obviously the interviewer sets up the interviewee well. And Michael Cole did a fabulous job of doing that and getting that emotion, that raw emotion from Cody Rhodes. You talk about realism. It felt real. That emotion felt real. Everything coming out of him felt real. The only thing I would like to see him do is, you know, if I could just nitpick for a little bit, I want to see him go to a different place. After all that emotion, I want to see that almost Jake the Snake Roberts kind of like, you know what? I'm not afraid of you, Rock. I'm not afraid of you, Roman. And, you know, you're not coming after me. I'm coming after you. And I'm going to take what I want. You know, just getting that mind frame, that mindset where it's different from the, you know, Seth kind of shouts a little bit, getting his point across. He takes it down to a different level where it's kind of like, ooh, he's in the zone right now.
Matt Coon, did this accomplish what it was supposed to accomplish?
You know, I suppose, you know, I think we're just trying to build it up a little bit each time and not try to diminish it. You know, some people say that Cody Rhodes is a good actor. And I think that implies like a, you know, a being not genuine. What he does have, maybe better than anybody I've ever seen in a wrestling ring, in an interview segment, is such easy access to his emotions and the way to maximize those emotions for their most benefit at all times. He can, you know, bring on the tears. They're not fake. He's accessing those. But he brings them on perfectly to bring the crowd along with the ride with him. He's angry. It comes across as very genuine, but also very relatable as a guy who has who's emotional and passionate. And I'll tell you one thing, like you said, a lot of real. I'm invested in the Cody Rhodes, you know, narrative story a little bit, but I am very, very, very invested in the real life storyline of Cody Rhodes getting that title. And I think that's where WWE might be missing the ball a little bit, because they don't know how many people are truly invested in that story.
All right, well, why have you both? I know we're still, you know, 3 weeks from Mania. Yes or no? Matt Coon, we know Cody's taking on Roman Reigns night two. We don't know if it's Bloodline rules. We don't know if it's Bloodline banned from the ring. We don't know any of that. And we don't know any other variables that could come about. As we stand right now, we started this on March 11th. We're in March 12th now on the East Coast. Yes or no? Is Cody Rhodes walk out beating Roman Reigns for the title?
I'm going to stay pretty consistent here and say that no, I do not think he walks out the champion. I think he should. I think we're at a point where a babyface like Cody Rhodes, it's time to try that again. But in my mind, the people in power that are now in power, who are now in control, have demonstrated that they don't really believe in Cody Rhodes the way that the people who were in power kind of believed in Cody Rhodes. And I think we're heading towards more Rock and Roman stuff. And I think they're going to continue to take Cody for granted because they know he's going to do the job. So literally and figuratively. So I want him to win, but I don't think so.
Well, real quick, before I go to Jimmy, real quick, man, I'm going to follow up one more time here. You're talking about people in power. I mean, last year at Mania, when Cody did not finish the story, Vince was present. And then Vince booked the night after Mania, which was a crap show. You know, like, and I know that Vince and Bruce got Cody, they visited with Cody, they got Cody back signing, but like, you know, Cody even alluded to, without saying his name, or maybe did say his name, but he even alluded to Triple H tonight about Triple H being like his closest working ally. So
that's a shoot.
I'm asking you, like, what do you mean, like, do you think there's less support now in the office to Cody than there was a year ago?
Yeah, absolutely, because we have
because Rock's part of the office.
Yeah, TKO, okay. Rock. Nick Khan. Look, man, The Rock is The Rock, okay? The Rock is The Rock. And if I was The Rock, I would do the same thing and so much worse. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would put myself in every match and make all the money, so I totally get it. But, yeah, I totally believe that happened. I totally believed it was switched up last year, and they made it palatable to everybody involved by saying, hey, man, next year, it's a better story now. But now Rock comes in, what, January 3rd? Man, how does The Rock not do that? I get it. You know what I'm saying? But I think the people in power, Triple H is not in the same position of power he was, a few months ago.
Well, he may not be, but Jimmy, they are not shying away from this whole power thing because they keep
bringing it up.
I like
they,
it.
They yeah. keep, you know, not only live, because The Rock's going to say whatever he wants live, but then they can, they have the ability to edit in or edit out whatever they want. They toss to the entire video package recapping SmackDown, because, oh, by the way, they were so against the hard timeout Friday. Some markets, because of their local Fox affiliate, cut out early. They didn't even see the slap that Cody gave to Rock. That's a shoot. Some didn't even see the slap.
That's like the Bret Hart kick, right? The Shawn Michaels Bret Hart kick that guy got off.
Yeah.
All right. Exactly. So, all right. So you have the ability to kind of rewrite whatever history you want here tonight on for this package. They make a point to show the slap.
Right.
They make a point prior to the slap to have The Rock touting how he is the office, he's your boss, he's TKO. Like, so it feels like they are setting everything up here for, like, eventually Triple H is going to pop back up and he's going to he's going to swing his power stick.
Right.
So having said that, having digested what Matt just said, again, Cody's talking about how personal this is and the family, and I got to hand this to my mom. He's fighting back tears. What do you think is happening here? Does Cody finally finish the story? Or if I had to ask you right now, tell me what ends Mania? What are we looking at?
If you ask me, I get your guy's point, but at the same time, after what I heard tonight, I think the story has to end at WrestleMania because of exactly the words he said, you know, bringing his mother into this. That made it completely personal. So I understand, you know, wanting to prolong the story, but at the same time, after what he said tonight, I think it has to happen at WrestleMania. It just makes sense to me. And you talk about the power play struggle. There are so many aspects of this that intrigue me, because Rock talking about being on the board of directors and Triple H wielding his power backstage. He cut that promo a couple of weeks ago where he said, you're not in charge. You may be on the board, but you're not in charge here. I am. Mm-hmm. And he said it convictingly. And can I throw a little, because you know how my fantasy
booking pencil
brain works. I want to tell me if you guys think this would overshadow the Cody moment, but I was just thinking, let's say that in the tag match on night one, Rock and Roman were to go over by some circumstance, however it is, they book it. Night two, it's bloodline rules. Before the match even starts, Rock leads Solo and Jimmy to ringside. And before the match even starts, you hear gong. You hear the Undertaker's gong. He walks out on the stage. He points at Rock, then points back to the entryway, and you hear the glass break. And then if there was some way they could work out a deal with AEW on a loan basis for one night, Dustin comes out. They come down and they play protector and let this match be a one-on-one. It is still going to be bloodline rules where anything goes, but it leaves it as Cody and Roman without any interference, without any gaga. Cody finishes the story. Do you think that all that extra bells and whistles takes away from that? Or do you think that is something that may just get the add to it, so to speak?
I think if you end night one with Rock and Roman standing tall, which if I had to predict right now what actually would happen, I don't think Rock's going right into Mania just to lose. I think that would happen. And that also makes the mountain that much, again, that much more daunting for Cody to have to conquer. So you're going in, so if you're a Cody fan, you go into night two, right, Matt? You go into night two, you're really deflated. You're like, oh my God, everything's stacked against him. You're going to this main event like, oh my God, they're just going to bury him. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and all of a sudden, if I started getting legends like Taker and Austin or hit Triple H's music, I mean, if they could get Dustin, that would be obviously a very good personal touch, whether or not that could be done.
That's the payoff. Triple H is going to come out, interfere in the match, and hit The Rock.
You know, I've seen a lot of people compare this to, like, Avengers. And, yeah, if you could get this who's who of an old guard to come out, and like you said, so it's bloodline rules, but it's not really. It's kind of like we're at even odds. That would be intriguing. I don't think it takes away. That would be intriguing. It would kind of... If anyways, I guess make it a little bit more believable of how the hell is Cody going to walk out as champion when in theory it should be bloodline rules and it should be the entire world against him. He's got to have some allies.
If it's bloodline rules, there's 0% chance Cody's not going to have some help and some surprising help.
Right. Right. All right. So a lot there with the Cody. Very exciting stuff. Real quick, Seth cuts a promo in ring with Drew. The most notable thing, he tells Drew, you're at the bottom of my list of my worries. He rattles off Rock, Roman, his knee, his back.
It's fair.
His mortgage. Drew, you're way down.
Someone's about to beat the hell out of his wife. It's bad, man.
Gentlemen, just raise the hands. Drew McIntyre's walking out of Mania with a world title. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Very good. Drew,
he's so good. He's like a cheerleader at an accident. He's just so good.
And we'll see. We'll table it, but we'll see if CM Punk has a space in this. As we said earlier, Punk's going to be on Raw just prior to that, so we'll see if Punk has anything to that. And lastly, real quick, again, not a new match, but Rhea Ripley telling Becky Lynch, Becky, you keep taking all these fights. You want an excuse. You want to be beaten up and bruised. You want an excuse for why you're not going to be able to beat me because you know you're not better than mommy. And then later we would see Becky get attacked by Nia Jax. Next week's going to be a last woman standing match between Becky and Nia. Matt, what are we doing here? I mean, obviously Rhea versus Becky is going to be very exciting. First singles match between the two since NXT. They're still trying to book Becky as like the underneath babyface, but the crowd is chanting mommy. What are we doing here?
There ain't nothing you can do with Rhea Ripley. You can put her with a heel act. You can have her coming with Dominic Mysterio. Ain't nothing you can do, man. This woman is beloved. This woman is beloved. She's edgy. She doesn't pander to the crowd. She should stay the person she is. Becky is miscast here, you know? Becky this isn't the role for Becky. And Becky's putting 1,000% into it. She was great on the mic tonight. She was great in the ring tonight. But I don't see why you wouldn't put a Nia Jax against Rhea, because Rhea is just it. Rhea is that wrestler right now.
Yeah, Jimmy, I mean, what are we doing here with Rhea Becky? There seems to be a miss up between what the booking is presenting and what the crowd wants.
Yeah, again, you're getting the crowd conflicted because they do want to cheer Rhea big time. Regardless of whether she's with Dominic, regardless of whether she's with Judgment Day, it doesn't matter. They want to cheer her. And Becky is being presented as a babyface, and there is a portion of the crowd that do still want to cheer her, but they feel conflicted and don't know, you know, where to go with this. So I think, Matt, a couple of weeks ago, you brought up the point where you need, in a good story, you need an antagonist and a good protagonist. And that's what we're not. Yes, we're not getting that here. I mean, obviously, Rhea's speaking like a heel, but she's not getting the reaction a heel should get.
She's so cool. She's too cool to boo. You can't boo her. She's too cool, and she always looks amazing and always looks different.
Yep. Agreed.
Mommy is always on top. All right. We will end with a super chat. We'll go back one more time here, but we'll give like full flush. Chad W, $5. Thank you, Chad. How do you guys see the tag match ending on night one? Jimmy, go ahead. How book this finish for me on night one?
I wish I had a great finish for you, but obviously I think Bloodline is going to get going to interfere and cause them Cody and Seth to lose, and we're going to see night two. And maybe they take out Seth and his knee again and set it up for Drew the next night.
Matt, I see the same thing. Take in mind what Jimmy said. Also, something else I didn't get to. Excuse me. Michael Cole brought this up in the interview with Cody. Can you trust Seth? So is there a Seth heel turn? Is Seth frustrated? Just all these things. Throw that out there. Matt, night one, how do you end this?
You know, I think Seth is due for some rehab vacation time. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they're going to put him out to pasture as a bad guy who just turns and then disappears. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But I do see Cody taking the pin. I do see, you know, shenanigans, and I see, you know, the story being Cody's going into Sunday, man, WrestleMania Sunday, and he's got all the odds stacked against him, even worse than ever. Let's get behind him. That's the story.
Let's get behind him, but Matt still thinks Cody's going to fall short on that Sunday.
I don't get to book it, Justin. You know what I'm
saying? I'm trying to deflect the blame to Matt here.
I got a pencil for you if you want.
There you go. All right, that's been it. We're an hour and 21 in. It's been fun. It's been great, all three of us. And thanks to the crowd. I've been watching. They give me like a little number thing, and the number has been really good tonight. So I, you know, hey, everybody out there watching live, thank you, appreciate it. Thank you. I know it's 12.
It was Jimmy taking his shirt off.
And that's what it was.
The shirt came off. People just came a flocking.
Sorry, this is a one-time thing, guys. It ain't happening again.
Well, we get some analytic reports back, and we get a little. You might be taking your shirt off more in episodes than you want.
I mean, we're going to send some super chat bars for that. We'll see. Yeah. You know,
for the right price, you may talk me into it. Hey.
If, you know, we market ourselves and monetize ourselves to the 50-year-old women admiring the Greek Greek bodies, then you might be just that might be your new outfit.
You never know.
Thanks everybody watching live. We really appreciate it. Again, if you don't watch live, if you can make it work in your schedule. I know it's late night on the East Coast, but if you can, it's a lot of fun. It's a visual show. We got the super chats up and we're all looking the way we look. It's fun. If not, if you want to listen to the audio only, listen to the audio only, whichever way you do it.
I got it. Next week I'll wear jorts. How's that?
There you go. The jorts. Wear the jorts. Wrestling Inc. Podcast, leave a good review. Leave a 5-star review. Leave a positive comment. If you got nothing positive to say, just move on. Just move on. Let's move on.
Because we'll delete that comment and forget you existed in 5 seconds.
Well, I don't know if they do that, but just
move I would. If
it was I don't have control of that stuff. All right, final plugs and statements. Matt, you are our Monday guest. I will turn to you first.
You can just visit me on Twitter at Matt Coon Music. I have very little else going on right now. So that's it. Make sure to listen to Justin on Busted Open Radio.
Yeah.
Too kind. Jimmy, what's going on with you?
Well, you know, you hear on Monday nights after Dynamite on Wednesday nights, and you can catch me on the Roughing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, who holds the glue together. This past week, we had Cody Diener on. This week, Matt Morgan. It's going to be a fun one. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, congrats to 100. You guys got to 100 episodes a week ago.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. It was great. We had Diamond Dave LaGreca on. Yeah. He didn't wear his pink robe, which kind of disappointing, but it's okay. That's okay. We're not a video show. We're only an audio, so it's okay. And of course, my ref and rants that I do every day from Monday to Wednesday. And again, my little critiques that I think could help the business tighten the screws, not to tear down, but to, in my opinion, elevate, because all the views on ref and rant are those of mine and mine alone.
See, I got a soft spot for the ref and rant. Not only you, but then, you know, Hebner. I feel like he and I are the only two that are as passionate and as public about our Washington crap show fandom that is the football team. So, you know, I'm there.
I mistakenly said Monday to Wednesday. It's Monday to Friday.
Monday to Friday. Yeah. There we go. All right. I'm at Justin Labar. Follow me across the socials, Twitter, Instagram, nonstop. My thoughts on what's going on. Had a awesome interview that I was happy with and a fun conversation with Bianca Belair from last week. Mm-hmm. Love Bianca. That was even before the nonsense. Go check it out on there at Justin Labar across those socials. Here on Mondays, every single Friday morning, myself, Dave LaGreca, Thunder Rosa, spar with Labar on Busted Open. I got all 3 hours of the program on Sundays with myself and my partner in crime, Jonathan Hood. Jonathan Hood, a tremendous radio voice, a tremendous wrestling historian. Have a lot of fun. If you're looking for something, if you're looking for a Sunday live show in the morning, if you're looking for a on demand or looking for a podcast, I really urge you to try to give us a chance. I'm really happy with the radio we've been putting together there. It is WrestleMania season, so we're all putting our best foot forward, including WWE, I think, for most considerations. So a lot to be excited about. That's going to do it for tonight. Thanks to everybody. Be nice. Share with a friend. Be nice to each other. We will see you back here tomorrow night on Wrestling Inc. for the After NXT podcast.